Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. We should have scriptural reasons for what we are religiously. People ought not just accept blindly what somebody may teach them and tell them to believe. Now, this is not to cast reflection on preachers and teachers or parents or friends, but to focus attention on the ultimate authority for what we believe and practice. We all believe many things at first because we have confidence in the one who has taught us. But the time comes when we must believe what we believe because we have a Bible reason for knowing it is the truth. Every faithful gospel preacher will urge his hearers to do as did the noble Bereans of old, and that is, search the Scriptures to see what is so, Acts 17:11. What are you, religiously? Some are members of certain churches for no better reason than the fact that their ancestors were members. Some married a mate who was a member of some church and they just went along. And others are what they are for business and political and social reasons. There are those who tell you they belong to their church because it happened to be the closest building to where they lived. Such reasons fall short of the scriptural demands. Now we must understand that there is a difference between the Church of Christ of which you read in the Bible and a denomination. In fact, there's no kinship between them. No denomination has biblical authority for its existence. The church is not composed of the sum total of the denominational world, because the Bible never presents the church in such a fashion as that. We should be members of the church of which the Bible speaks. Now let us first insist that we are members of the Church of Christ because we want to be governed by what the Bible does teach. We cannot conceive of belonging to something religiously of which we do not even read one word in all of God's revelation. Life, eternity, salvation, hope, forgiveness, all such things are too important to commit to something that's not even from the Bible. All who know anything about the Bible readily admit that the church belongs to Christ. It is revealed in the Bible, and it is the one to which we ought to belong. Until those who have been taught concerning the church in denominational terms, dear friend, we would pray that you would relieve your minds of the preconceived misinformation that you have received. It is almost impossible for people to grasp what the Bible teaches about the church so long as they continue to hold to a denominational concept. The Bible does not teach people to just join some church or join the church of your choice. Now, while this is what denominational clergymen preach, it is not what the Scriptures teach. No person can join the Church of Christ. Rather, when he obeys the gospel, God adds him to the church. Acts 2:47. What one does to be saved is the same thing he does for God to add him to the church. You see, the church is the house or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And one is born into that family when he is born of water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5. The new birth enables one to enter the kingdom, and the New Testament teaches the church is the kingdom. Now we are who are members of the Church of Christ, also because it is of Christ. It is his. He built it, Matthew 16:16-18. The fact that he's the Son of God and he is the foundation upon which the church is built makes the church different from other religious organizations. Christ promised to build his church. He promised to build only one. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church, Galatians 1:18. It is his by virtue of the fact that he purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20:28. And he is the tried and tested foundation of which Isaiah wrote when he said, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. And Christ identified himself as that stone. People sometimes will ask, are you a Christian? And when you respond, yes, they will likely ask, to what church do you belong? Friend, there's no such thing as being a Christian without belonging to the Lord's church and not some denomination. Biblically speaking, the question reveals great misinformation as to the nature of the church. One would just as soon ask, which Christ do you follow, as to ask, to which church do you belong? There is but one church, just as there is but one Christ in the Bible. You will never find anything about the hyphenated church member, by which I mean a Methodist Christian, a Baptist Christian, a Presbyterian Christian, etc., etc. You just find that the disciples were called Christians, Acts 11:26. All these denominational names and appendages came from men, not God. The Lord's church was established at the place and the time that the prophet said. It was in the city of Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, Acts chapter 2. Isaiah, Micah, Daniel, Zechariah, in fact, all the prophets had foretold of these things, Acts 3:24. If a church had its beginning other than in Jerusalem and on the day of Pentecost, why, dear friend, then it is not the church that Christ built. Why should anyone want to be a member of a church that Christ did not build when he can belong to the one that he did build? We are members of the Church of Christ because of its creed. Now, the word creed simply refers to what is believed. Nearly every denomination has a human creed that's been compiled for that denomination, and it makes that denomination distinctive from all others. Well, the Church of Christ also has a creed that makes it distinctive, but that creed is simply the Bible, no more and no less. Nothing has authority behind it that is not of the Bible. One could take a copy of the Bible and have stamped in gold on the cover the creed of the Church of Christ. The Bible is the discipline, the Bible is the manual, the Bible is the catechism, the Bible is the rule book. It is the inspired Word of God, all sufficient and authoritative, there being no need or allowance for anything more or less. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And this is what members of the Church of Christ who are faithful to God believe. There is no authority that one must accept anything else but God's Word. There's just no other authority but God's Word. The will of Jesus Christ is what the Bible teaches. If people would set aside their human creeds and unite on the Bible as the authority, this would be a major step toward unity for which Jesus prayed. It would remove from the religious scene everything that's not taught in the Bible, and this would remove from existence any and all churches except His. Now, we're members of the Church of Christ because it is the pillar and the ground, which means the support, the defender, the proclaimer of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Therefore, it teaches what the Bible teaches as to how to be saved, what God has done, what man must do. It teaches the grace and the love and the mercy of God in sending His Son. It teaches how Jesus Christ died on the cross but was raised from the dead. It teaches how people must hear the Word, believe it, repent of their sins, confess their faith, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Many churches will not teach this. Rather, they teach what their manual says, or their discipline, or their creed book, the instructions that they find there. They teach that one can pray the sinner's prayer. They preach that one can pray through. They teach salvation by faith only, or grace only. They teach a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. They teach just the honest and sincere, and on with the many ways of salvation that men teach, of which nothing is taught in Scripture. The Church of Christ is organized and governmentally structured the way the Bible reveals Christ as the head. And the universal church is organized into local congregations. there being no ecclesiastical hierarchy or organization larger than the local church. The local church is overseen by men of certain qualifications called elders or bishops or pastors. They're the shepherds of the flock. And there are deacons who serve. The rest of the church is composed of the rest of the members, including the preachers and teachers. And each congregation is self-governing, autonomous, and they are tied together by a common salvation and a common conviction. We are members of the Church of Christ because it does the work the church is supposed to do, namely, preach the gospel to save souls, edify the saved that they may grow and not fall away, and render benevolent assistance to those in need as opportunity presents itself. The Church of Christ worships as Scripture authorizes, with singing, praying, giving, partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and the proclamation of the Word of God. This is that of which we read, friend, in the New Testament. And when churches begin to branch out into the fields of secular education and recreation and entertainment and other such things, going beyond what is written, leaving the need for authority for what is done, that church is turned away from the pattern the Lord established and has embarked on the path of digression and apostasy. We are members of the Church of Christ because we subscribe to the biblical identifications of the church. The church is called the Church of God, the Church of Christ, more often than not, simply the church. After all, it belongs to God, it belongs to Christ, there is only one. No names that honor men, or honor doctrines, or honor governmental systems, or any such thing have any biblical support. The disciples are called saints, disciples. The disciples are called Christians. They're members of the body of Christ. Why should anybody want to wear names that God has not authorized? Why would one want to promote and encourage religious division by wearing names that divide and separate? Why does one dismiss the importance of the worthy name by which we are called when everyone knows names are very important? God thinks names are important, and He gave names as He saw fit. And He gave the name Christian to the followers of Christ, Isaiah 62, 1 and 2, Acts 11 and verse 26. The name He gave is the name the apostles approved. It is the name Christian. Members of the Church of Christ wear the name that honors the Savior. And we are members of the Church of Christ because that church is what Christ promised to save, Ephesians 5, 23. Which He shall deliver to the Father when He comes again, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. He offers to save everyone, but only those in His body, the church, will be saved. Why should anyone want to belong to that which admits is unnecessary to salvation? That admission tells you right off that it's not the Church of Christ. We're reconciled to God in one body, Ephesians 2:16. And the saved are added to that body, and that body is the church, Acts 2:47. Now, there may be other reasons why we belong to the Church of Christ, but are not these sufficient to show why everyone needs to belong to that same church, the church of which you read with God's approval in the New Testament? And this is the only church we uphold before all mankind, the church that belongs to Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.